You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm joined with special co-host Mike Napier, who serves as BGCO Personal Evangelism Specialist. Howdy, Mike.
Hello, Brian.
Well, we are weeks away from the State Evangelism Conference in late January, Monday and Tuesday, January 29th, 30th,
that's right,
2018. And as it draws near, we're focusing in on some of the speakers, and we have a special guest.
We do, a very special guest for Oklahoma Baptist, especially. People love this guy, admire him, and they just really show up anytime he comes to
the state. That's right. If you've been anywhere near Falls Creek, any of the recent summers, or anywhere around that world, you know of Dr. Ed Newton, who is author, speaker, and who serves as lead pastor of Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas. Pastor Ed, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thank you for the invitation, fellas.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for your time, and we're pumped to have you on Messenger Insight Podcast, and we're really excited to have you join us at the State Evangelism Conference in January. You're going to be speaking on Monday night, and Matt Blagg, a guy named Matt Blagg, I don't know if your paths have ever crossed with Matt or not, but you're going to so enjoy the manner in which God uses him to prompt us in worship. And so we're pumped to have you join us, Ed. Thank you.
Well, any time to get to the great state of Oklahoma.
There you go.
A distinguished privilege. I realize living in the state of Texas, there might be some animosity amongst the Red River rivalry.
What? However, no way.
That is not in my heart because of my affinity and affection for your state convention.
Well, amen. And can you say Boomer Sooner?
Wow. I think there might be a moment where if this were, there might be some blackmail have to take place for that to take place. Maybe a specific request, some ribs from Smokin' Joe's, and maybe I'll say Boomer Sooner.
Okay.
No, that's good
We'll
stuff.
See if we can't set that up, okay?
Pastor Ed, when you come, what has God kind of put on your heart to share with people when you think about evangelism and the other, the movement of God? What are you hoping to share?
I think one of the distinguished realities about the movement of God specifically is that we cannot manipulate nor manufacture the movement of God. Hmm. For example, oftentimes we find ourselves with a bold request of inviting God into gatherings such as the State Evangelism Conference. But here's just a very simple thought, but hopefully it would be inspiring, is that we don't have to invite God to the State Evangelism Conference. He's already there.
Hmm. Yes.
And he's inviting us. And that is the direction in which we operate, I think, as pastors, believers, followers, fellow sojourners in the journey is, Two specific questions we're attempting to answer is, what is God saying, and what does he want me to do about it?
I like that. That's good. We sometimes make the gospel too complicated. Would you agree with that?
I think I have a tendency to definitely make it more complicated than what it is, and usually where it gets complicated is when I begin to live in a performance-based reality.
Yeah.
I got to be reminded that the grace of God that saved me is the grace of God that keeps me, but it's not the grace of God that allows me to live however I want to live, but instead I embrace the very mission and mandate that was upon the Apostle Paul, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So the more I could get out of the way, that I'm fully submitting and surrendering to the leadership of the Holy Spirit to have his way in my heart and my life. And to walk in the Spirit is to walk in step with the heartbeat of God. And I think the more we can get out of the way and yield and surrender, I believe we have a greater opportunity to experience kingdom growth and kingdom advancement in our own hearts.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, along those same lines of exactly what you're thinking, I've got a question for you that I'm really curious about, and I believe our listeners are curious about as well. What does evangelism look like in the church that you're pastoring? That would be part one of my question, and I've got a part two. What does personal evangelism look like for Ed Newton?
Yes, sir.
So if you don't mind fielding both of those.
Let me speak to the first aspect of the question, how does that apply to the church? Well, the good news of the gospel is better defined as too good to be true. Mm-hmm. And what's too good to be true is that someone as wretched as me in full depravity could be a son of the living God. I could have justification, be declared righteous, and my sins have been forgiven past, present, and future. And to embrace that message in such a way that I would preach the gospel to myself. Oftentimes, it's in interviews or in conferences and seminars, we give great intentionality to inspiring people to preach the gospel. But I think in order for us to effectively preach the gospel to others, we have to effectively preach the gospel to ourselves. And that's what I'm helping our community of faith to understand, that we'll never share with somebody the hope of salvation if we're not overwhelmed by what God did for us in giving us salvation.
Oh, that's good.
If the motivator becomes, I have to do this because there's a box to be checked or a hoop to jump through,
right,
then our conferences and gatherings and preachers that stand on stage can motivate people to be responsive for so long. But when a person gets caught up in the fact that God so loved, then all of a sudden it's not out of obligation, but it's now out of opportunity.
It's
not out of awkwardness, now it's out of awe that
yes.
I get to be a part of what God has chosen. Right? Fellas, think about this, that God could speak from heaven and say he's the way, the truth, and the life, but he chose to use us.
Yes.
Broken, frail, weak people who oftentimes fumble the ball at the 1 yard line, but God in his sovereignty has a great rich history of using broken, frail, weak people to do extraordinary things. And that's what I'm trying to help our people understand. It's not about ability, it's about availability.
It really comes down to what we're passionate about, because people
yes,
who
sir.
Are passionate about football, man, they talk football. And it doesn't take anything to get someone that's passionate about football or baseball to let them talk for 10 minutes straight. Matter of fact, you could ask some of my friends right now, when do pitchers and catchers report, and they can tell you how many days it is from today. It's
yes.
kind of weird and eerie, but they do, and I'm not a baseball fan, but to me it's kind of weird and eerie. If people are passionate about their relationship with Jesus Christ, they will talk about Jesus Christ, and out of that overflow, they will communicate the gospel. So, I hear you, and I love what you're saying, Brother Ed. I love it.
Well, at a personal level, first of all, let me begin with just confession. Just wrote in my journal just this week, Lord, renew a passion in my heart for evangelism. I find myself as a pastor around believers, our staff, and our team of volunteers week in and week out. And when I go to the gym and I engage with those who may not be believers, may I be more intentional with every move that I make. And I've just been asking the Lord, God, help me not to see people as an interruption, but an invitation.
Yeah.
Because I think for many of us, for anybody that's listening today that's a pastor or in ministry, we find ourselves just being overwhelmed with the responsibility of which God's given us. And we find ourselves moving very expeditiously from point A to point B. But sometimes the reason why God had us from going from point A to point B is not really about getting to B. It's about what was between point A and point B, and that was that divine appointment. And I missed an opportunity here recently that's just wrecked me. A young man that I had a conversation with and felt as if my time was running out with him, and I didn't want to rush through an evangelistic presentation, but I immediately, right now, even as I'm speaking to you brothers, I'm thinking about Bill Bright, who's in heaven right
yes.
now, who said any conversation with anybody for 5 minutes is a divine appointment.
Yeah, amen.
And I talked to that brother longer than 5 minutes, and I missed it. And so for me personally, I got to see people as not as interruptions, but as invitations.
That's good.
Good word. Just a reminder that Ed Newton will be speaking on Monday night. You can go to scc.okbaptist.com to register. The event is free to attend. Thank you. Thanks to the cooperative program. Brother Ed, I wanted to ask, you're a husband and father. How are you trying to instill these habits and convictions about evangelism and sharing the faith in your
That's
own
a great,
family?
Yeah, great question. Obviously, it begins by modeling it. We were in a conversation not too long ago. We were shopping for a Mother's Day gift, and my kids, I'll never forget this. We were checking out, and I entered into a conversation with this gentleman behind the counter. And through the process of the conversation, he shared that he was a believer. And we got in the car, and my kids asked me a question. They said, "Dad, what would you have done if he said he wasn't a Christian?" And I said, "I would have tried to explain further why it would be important to give your life to Jesus." And one of my kids, not in so much of these exact words, said this, "Daddy, do you do that because you're a preacher?" I said, "No." I said, Daddy doesn't share Jesus because I'm a preacher. Daddy shares Jesus with people because I'm a Christian."
There you go.
Yeah.
And it was like the Holy Spirit of God just in that moment, I believe speaking to my kids, but also just confirming in my heart, if I was not a preacher, if I was not a pastor, if I was not a ministry leader, would I be intentional with the gospel? Because I'm a follower of Jesus and he's changed my life. So we're trying to model it with our kids. We're trying to share Jesus with people that God put in our path, not to make it odd, not to make it awkward, but to seek divine appointments that the Lord. But it begins, I really do, I believe God is faithful to do this. When we wake up and we go, "God, I want to be open to the people you put in my life today, and so God, would you let me know when it's the right time to speak?" I believe the Lord will honor that.
Wow, good word.
That's good, Ed, and it's important because that is the next generation. But as much as we are responsible as leaders for the church, wow, how much more are we responsible for our own family, right?
Yes, sir. Well, evangelism is more caught than taught, and that's the key for any family dynamic, any church environment, anybody that's trying to, as I believe it's Proverbs 11, verse 30, that says, "He who is wise captures souls."
Right.
As the ESV says. And
yes.
So to be a soul winner is to be wise, according to Proverbs,
is what
Scripture says. And so I want to be wise.
Amen.
And I think I believe the Lord gives us wisdom. I feel like the Holy Spirit just kind of revealed this. Not that I've thought about this, but until right now. So how does wisdom come out of soul winning? Wisdom comes out of soul winning because you're listening to people's stories.
Hmm. Yes.
And you're hearing what they've been through, what they've gone through, and through your life experiences, you're being able to speak into someone's life because maybe what you've gone through, your scars, speak a story.
Oh, yes.
But there could be a moment where all of a sudden somebody shares something with you that you might end up using with somebody else in another evangelistic opportunity.
That's right. That's spot on. That's good. And you know, family, my mind, my heart goes to 2 Timothy chapter 1. When Paul reminds Timothy about his grandma and his mom, and he says, "Recall their faith. Don't you remember their faith? They've passed this on to you."
Yeah.
And he's calling him on the carpet in it because that's what the whole text is about. And he says, "Fan that back into flame, my brother. It's died down within you. Now, what you've seen lived out in your family, fan it up in you, and don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't walk in fear and timidity. Be bold." And that whole, you know, verse 7, 8, and 9, that's what all of that is saying in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Family plays a huge part, and what we see our family live out is what we will reproduce. I look at my own kids, and I see that, and that's good. I appreciate what you just said. Thank you.
Well, praise God.
You mentioned caught, that it's caught. I've observed there's a neighbor we have, and she's a believer, and each of our families were attending this event, and this person had brought two or three or four families, invited them from the neighborhood, this Muslim family over here, the Mormon family, and just so excited, and that was contagious to me, seeing others excited about Jesus, willing to speak out or invite people or dare to share the gospel. Are you seeing anything encouraging among millennials or people in your ministry circle when it comes to evangelism and seeing the faith passed on, Ed?
Yes, sir. One of the things that we're seeing, now you got to understand contextually where I'm at. I'm in San Antonio, which is about 3 hours from Mexico. And for us personally, this is a highly saturated region, not just San Antonio, but our region is saturated predominantly Catholic. And what we're watching with our people, and let me underscore the word our people. I mean, I love the people that God has put in our family here. And it's one thing to love to preach. It's another thing to love the people you preach to.
Right, absolutely.
And I love these people, and I'm learning so much. One of the things that we have seen is, and this is, let me say this, this is the Lord doing this work. This past year, we've seen over 1,200 people baptized, and it's been phenomenal to watch, and most of which have not happened in our worship gatherings.
There you go.
Wow.
It's our people leading people to Jesus and them getting baptized.
Yay.
Wow.
And it is phenomenal to watch in these. We baptize once a month a part of our service, and it's phenomenal to watch the journey of these people. And what's happened, there are people who have come to know the Lord that are just realizing the power of their story. And the power of their story is Jesus changed my life, and he can do the same thing for you. We talked about this earlier, that sometimes we complicate Christianity.
Yes,
I think we complicate soul winning.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Now, listen, I vocationally was an evangelist for 13 years. I used to be a minister of evangelism on staff at a church, in charge of faith training, faith evangelism training,
yeah.
CWT,
yeah.
EE. I mean, I've done it all. But what I'm saying to you is that all of those things are great resources, and highly encourage them. But what we're seeing here in San Antonio specifically in our fellowship is people just sharing their story going, hey, if he did it for me, he could do it for you. Would you like to do that?
Oh, that is so awesome. That's so New Testament, isn't it? Because
I mean, it's literally, and you know what I'm watching? I'm going, wow. I think I've muddied the water trying to teach you how to do evangelism at times with the techniques that I've embraced. But I've realized, much like anything, it's context.
Right.
It's context here has dictated a story, and I say story, not illustrative, but a story from the standpoint of what Christ did for me, B.C., before Christ, A.D., after decision, and going, this is what he did for me. And he could do the same thing for you. And it is breathtaking to watch this unfold.
Well, and to watch a new believer especially share their story or share their faith and see fruit born by the power of the Spirit as the Spirit draws someone to himself. And that new believer just gets on fire. I mean, that is more powerful than any fireworks we could explode. It's just so awesome. Well, man, I tell you, we are almost out of time, believe it or not, Ed. And I wanted to let you know and let our listeners know a few of the folks that are going to be speaking like you. You're going to be here at our State Evangelism Conference. But have you ever had the pleasure of meeting Pastor Greg Mott from First Houston?
Oh, man, he's a friend. We talk all the time.
I didn't know he had any friends, so that's really good to hear.
Listen, I'm honored to call myself in friendship with that brother.
No,
I mean, we're talking
great.
Wisdom.
No, he's great. He's awesome. I actually
let me say this to our listeners: if I'm them, I'm skipping my session going to hear him.
I hear you. He is good. He will actually be here on Tuesday, and he'll be speaking on Tuesday evening, sharing a message, and of course you'll be here on Monday evening. Our outgoing State Executive Director, and I know, again, a friend of yours, Dr. Jordan, he'll be sharing. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be sharing. Don Wilton, pastor of First Baptist Church, Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Coolest accent in the country.
Oh, you know him, man. He does.
Yes.
I am so jealous. And the way he preaches with fire, it's like you can just almost see the flames leap off of the man as he's going. And so he is preaching, but he's also leading a breakout on extending the invitation and the power of the call, that invitation. And so I'm hoping to be able to get to sit in on that breakout on Tuesday. But he'll be here. A man named Ken Davis, who's a Christian comedian, he'll be speaking on that Monday morning a man named Art Hallett, who leads out as the National Director of Prison Ministries for EE International, will be here preaching and leading the breakout. A guy named Junior Hill, who a lot of our listeners know, and I'm certain that you know as well.
Yes, sir.
He will be here on Monday morning as well as Monday afternoon. David Burton will be coming in from Florida. He's an evangelist as well. He'll be here speaking. Dave Edwards will be speaking. The president of EE, John Sorsen, will be here. And I can't tell you how fired up I am about him alone. I mean, truly, if I was still pastoring, I would just be so overwhelmed with all of this lineup of speakers and what God can do in my own heart. I'd drive hours just to come hear this and pay money. And this gift, this is free. This is free because of the cooperative program that Southern Baptists all pitch into, and we're able to provide this. And I am just so pumped, Ed. I am so pumped. And thank you for being a part of what God is going to be doing in January.
I feel like Uncle Si at the prom on that list. Good gracious.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, Ed, thanks for taking time on the podcast, and we'll look forward to you coming to Oklahoma in January. And God bless you in your ministry there in San Antonio. We will pray for you and with you, and we're just honored to have you on today.
God bless you guys. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the journey.
Thank you. Blessings.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.